morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, and Kelvin Butenhoff coming to you from our studio in sunny downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. Call, text 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Another way you can listen, Greg
Buck. How's that? Greg Buck. That's
Greg
me.
Buck. It's Buck, right? That's you.
Chris Bosch.
Yes, that too. The Civic Media app. Go to wherever you get your apps and search for Civic Media. Download the Civic Media app, and that enables you to listen to all of the shows across all of our stations, and then you can call and text directly from the app too, which is pretty nice.
Yeah. What if they have a story or a guest or some subject they want us to talk about?
They can email us.
How?
So easy. Jane says at civicmedia.us.
Wow.
I know. Jane says at civicmedia.us, if there's a topic or a guest or something going on in your community that you think needs highlighting, absolutely, please let us know anytime. Jane says at civicmedia.us. And of course, all the complaints and everything, just go to Calvin.
Yeah.
He'll take care of it for you. We talk about this quite a bit. The numbers statistically for the economy are really good.
Yes.
Stock market is going gangbusters, setting records all the time.
Job growth. Inflation
is down.
Yes.
Still higher, obviously, than we would like.
Wisconsin, even like this week, we had a major breakthrough in unemployment. It was under 3%.
Yes.
So, yeah, the numbers, I know, everybody, hold on to your shnikes. The economy is actually good, and the numbers do prove that.
We found this. You found this, Greg Buck.
Yeah.
Target. Now we'll drop the prices of 5,000 common items. Joining a growing list of stores trying to draw back customers who are sick of inflation.
Yeah.
Target's list of price cuts posted on Monday includes milk, meat, bread, soda, fresh fruit and veggies, snacks, yogurt, peanut butter, coffee, dishes, paper towels, pet food. Target says it's already lowered prices on about 1,500 items, and it will keep doing that throughout the summer. One wonders, Greg Buck.
What you wondering about there, Jane?
I wonder if they hadn't artificially inflated these prices in order to make more money, because people were kind of stuck when we were in the pandemic. And now they're realizing that people are irritated by that, and they're starting to notice that. And now they're like, oh, well, now we're going to have to lower them because they finally figured out that we were screwing them. Oops.
No, I don't think that's the case there, Jane. I think the government's to blame. I think Joe Biden has gone through every Target and raised every single price tag. Because Joe Biden's the problem here. You know, whether it's gas or price of diapers at Target or just getting a Big Mac. It's Joe Biden's fault for the fact that prices are so high, Jane. You should just get do your own research.
Do your own. Always good to do research.
Yeah.
Grocers, Walmart, and Aldi, furniture maker IKEA have all said previously they are dropping prices this year as well. McDonald's putting new focus on the value menu, including a $5 meal that is expected to come sometime this summer.
I want to know how big that meal is, because that's one of the things that they did talk about, and we've spoken about this, is shrinkflation as well.
Oh,
which is we're paying the same, if not more money, for less product. And don't worry, folks. One, they're going to make their money, and they'll always win because we'll always go. So they can do whatever they want to us. They can, you know, Oreos are smaller, but I mean, fast food is smaller, prices are higher. This is, and them putting this stuff out, this is their way of saying, we've heard you.
Yeah.
We've heard the suffering. And
you're
the
struggling.
You're struggling. We care about the American people. No, they just, America's not stupid. That's the that's problem for them.
Yeah. Cause people are finally waking up and going, this is ridiculous. It's either the shrinking of the pack, you know, the shrinking of the product, or just the unrelenting price gouging that's been going on since the pandemic.
And I know that my buddy from Chicago was just here talking about Biden being to blame. He's wrong. He's an idiot. But that's the problem we face, though, is when we talk, they're much bigger topics. You can't just blame the government for higher prices.
No.
we have to look at the companies. We have to look, you know, they, like you said, they had the ability to do this because we were kind of over a barrel, especially during lockdown and those, that first year of the pandemic. You know, people didn't want to leave the house. So yes, they're going to order it from Target. They're going to order it from Amazon. And now they can raise their prices because they can use things like the pandemic, inflation,
supply chain
problems. Now, honestly, those are all legitimate reasons
Absolutely.
To do that.
Absolutely.
And we had somebody on here last year talking about it, and I asked the question is, why don't they ever lower the prices? And he said, because they don't have to.
Right.
Because we get used to it. There's the normal rising of price that always happens every year, understood, cost of living, that's what it is. But using those other elements to raise their prices and then keep them there and then raise them more and more and more. And then people just equate it to the government, whether that's gas, whether that's the price you pay at the grocery store. And then people see things like Amazon, Google, and Walmart cutting jobs, moving people, consolidating, closing down locations. Red Lobster, we talked about it this week. People are like, well, the government is just, nope, These are privately held companies, some of them owned by private equity firms that are doing their best to make the most money in their endeavors.
The vulture capitalists, as we like to call them.
Oh, God, yes. And so that's the ultimate problem. It all leads back to the fact that we said at the beginning of when we got back from the break, which is the economy
is good.
But just because you're paying more for toothpaste doesn't mean the economy is bad.
No, but we all take it so personally.
Exactly. Right? Oh, absolutely.
Of course, which makes perfect sense. You know, it does. This is your personal experience. You have a family of four, maybe, and groceries are tight and it's very expensive. And so now, again, some of our retailers starting to lower prices because people are sick of it. Price cuts part of an effort to keep consumers coming back to stores and restaurants, more families tightening up their budgets after years of inflation. Companies especially note that lower-income families have pulled back, prioritizing necessities. This is from NPR. Grocery prices generally have been fairly steady. They are up 1.1% over the past year, but according to federal data, actually dropped 0.2% between March and April. Overall, U.S. inflation easing from four decade highs. Prices still climbing faster than the Federal Reserve would like to see.
Andrew in Maine on the live stream. It's a good question to ask when people like to get at the president about raising prices. For those blaming prices on the government, if you were president, what action would you take to, and I'm going to say this word hard, force companies to reduce? You're going to have to force them to reduce their prices as the president. What do you do? I don't think there's anything you can do because they're private companies. And not to mention,
do we want the government doing that?
No. And also you'll have half the Congress saying you can't do that free market. Exactly. So that's a great question. Tony on the live stream also very, very bluntly said, anybody who lives on a tight budget like me and our family never shops at Target for groceries and never has shopped at Target for groceries ever. Periodically, I compare prices at Target with Aldi, Pick and Save, and Hy-Vee. They're all on the same road, less than 1 mile apart, and Target is the most expensive of the bunch.
Interesting.
Yeah. That is true. Like that people will just go to Target and, oh, I'm going to buy some kitchen towels. Oh, I also need grapes.
Well, and that's what happens.
It's the convenience.
Absolutely, because it's all in one spot. Tony also says on the live stream, I welcome the lowering of the prices, but not of the package sizing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we talked about this a couple of months ago.
Yep.
And one of our listeners called in and noted the juice ounces,
yes,
even in frozen juices.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And said this has been going on for a while.
Yeah, and they little by little, and the next thing you know, the example I always think about, and this sounds like a weird example, but the Whopper. When I was a kid, the Whopper was a big sandwich, and not because I was a kid with small hands, like diameter size, it was big. And now it just looks like a regular burger, and they charge you more for it. And come on, man. I want my old Whopper back.
855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. If you would like to join our conversation, Gary from Sussex is on the line. Good morning, Gary. How you doing? Thanks for joining us.
Good. I'm a heating contractor. I got my own business. Before the pandemic, a high-efficiency furnace that would be like 96% with an ECM two-stage gas valve, ECM main motor, would run about $3,500 installed. Now it's about $6,500 to install it. Now, for maybe about a year, I never raised my price, but then I complained about the price that they're charging me, you know, from the company where I buy the furnaces from.
Yep.
And they said, it doesn't matter. All the furnaces are going up. Every single company, raise your price. So one day the price was $3,500. And then the next day I raised it by $1,000 and the people had no problem. And I was so afraid. Now, do I think it's Biden's fault or Trump's fault? I don't know. But I will tell you one thing. They will never drop the price of the furnace down anymore. I ordered a part about a month ago, and it was a part that cost me $433. I bought it like a month later. It was $538. You know, you're looking at a 25% increase. And it, you know, why is this stuff happening? I don't know whose fault it is.
But they're doing it, Gary, because they can.
Yeah. This.
I mean, look, we talked to Representative Mark Pocan yesterday about this oil company executive who was colluding with OPEC to keep oil prices high. So what I can only believe, and I have no facts to back this up, but you don't think manufacturers call each other and say, hey, let's make sure we keep this price for this part. We're going to raise it to $538. Let's all do that.
Yeah.
And then you got no choice.
Yeah.
Thank you, Gary, for calling. And always thank you very much for listening. We're going to keep this conversation going. Mark from the SAC, we see you on the line. If you would like to join us, 855-752-4842, 855-CIVIC. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. And welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Join the conversation. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or what used to be Twitter. Thanks to everybody watching on the live stream today. Mark from Prairie du Sac has been very patient. Mark, we were talking about inflation and the price of things and greedflation, and now all of a sudden Target and some other stores say, oh, we're going to start cutting prices. Oopsie.
Because we believe in you, America.
Yeah, we believe in America. What do you think about this, Mark?
Some of this price fixing stuff has been going on for decades. Back in the late 70s, when I worked for a Holiday gas station, the owner-operator of the Holiday gas station in town would call the owner of the Erickson's, or the manager at the Erickson station that was in the same town, because I knew hung with his son, that this guy'd call up and say, hey, I want to bump up the price of gas a nickel, you know, which is, you know, just call him up and say, and that coordinate, and that was actually illegal activity back then. But I mean, it just is the whole thing of these big equity firms buying up businesses and jacking up the prices, and the consequences of that are legion, because look at down in Oregon, they have to close down that healthcare facility down there. They're closing it down. They just got a $200,000 fine, and I wonder if they had the problems here before the facility got taken over by an investment group,
that's all they do. All they do is want Mark is to maximize profits.
Yeah.
It's not about delivering a quality product. It's about maximizing products, and so they can buy back their stocks and make their stockholders happy.
And the people pay for that, and now how many people are going out of work there? People need to find new facilities to move into where there's not, you know, adequate bed space anyway. I mean, at these places, it is just it's just sad. I mean, and people are coming out of need those kind of facilities, you know, on a short-term basis, because I did a couple of times coming out of the hospital because I needed extended care after, you know, discharge from the hospital.
Right.
I mean, it is just kind of disgusting. And, you know, and Joe Biden, if he, you know, did, you know, brought down an iron fist on these places, they'd be squealing about that. But now, because prices are up, they blame Joe Biden. Well, these people forgot in economics, they actually learned back in high school that the supply and demand, and at least we were introduced to that when we were in high school. I mean, that's the way things are.
Yep. Thank you so much, Mark. Really appreciate it. Always appreciate you listening. Like he said, if the Biden administration started coming to businesses and saying, you will lower your prices, the screeching would never end.
Oh, they'd laugh him out of the building.
And justifiably so. Our government is not supposed to be, we're a capitalist society, right?
Yeah.
Ken Bob from Dailyville texting in, listening in Madison on WMDX. One of the infuriating things about inflation that remains is how large of a portion of it comes from high rents and high home prices. High interest rates contribute strongly to both of those problems. When it's expensive to buy or build a home or rental housing, demand outstrips supply and drives prices higher. Fed Chief Jerome Powell taking so long to start lowering rates is actually contributing to inflation at this point. I'm not a fan. I hear what you're saying, Ken Bob, but I think it's important that we remember as well that the Fed artificially kept inflation low for decades, or interest rates artificially low for decades.
Yeah, this is not just
That was to encourage people to buy houses and get into housing.
Yeah.
And then when they went away from artificially depressing the interest rates, and things started getting it back a little bit to closer to normal.
Yeah. It's back to where we should have been going a long time ago. And this is also not just one Fed chief's work. This is the work of many through the years. Something that I want to address, though, really quick. When Gary from Sussex called earlier, he said, I don't know. Whether it's Joe Biden's fault or Donald Trump's fault, I don't know. I do. It's neither of their faults. It's just, you know, if the equipment that you're buying, if you are a small business owner, which I am, if the equipment you are buying is more expensive, it's because the company you are buying from has raised their prices. If they are getting that, if they are a distributor, that's because who they are getting it from have raised their prices, which means the manufacturing needs, those companies have raised their prices because they can. Now,
Isn't it what the market will bear?
It's what the market will bear. It's what the market calls for. And if you can't do it, if you can't make it, then that's capitalism. That's, you know, but this has nothing to do. I don't blame the president of the United States because our tap line cleaner raised his prices. I don't even blame him. He has to make a living. If it gets prohibitively expensive, I have to go somewhere else. But I cannot and will not blame either Donald Trump or Joe Biden for this.
But as Mark from Prairie du Sac even pointed out, some businesses will collude with each other and
yes.
say, I'm going to raise it a nickel. You want to raise your nickel? Here's a nickel. Great. We'll keep it at a nickel higher.
Or not, or just say, hey, I provide furnace equipment. I need to raise my price by $2 to stay afloat and to stay good.
Yep.
But if I raise it $4, I'll make some money. And that's fine because you, Jane, are going to buy furnace equipment from me. You just charge them $8.
Right.
Because you can.
Jim from Appleton listening in Green Bay on WGBW. If the government is at all to blame for inflation, it's because they cannot do their jobs. Monopolies, SEC regulations of vulture capitalism, EPA and OSHA regulations ignored as fines are the cost of business.
Yeah.
And we've talked about that many times, too.
Oh.
Rather than actually do the right thing or change their practices, like making sure trains don't derail, they just build in money to pay the fine for when the train derails.
Or they pay $1 billion fine and say, that's fine, you can have your money, but it right here in the contract or the settlement agreement, we don't admit fault.
Ever.
Ever. We can't be held accountable for crimes. But here's $1 billion, that's fine. That's 0.5% of this quarter's
profits. Take it. You also found this real quickly, we only have a couple minutes, Greg, about what they did in Massachusetts.
Yes.
Story in the Globe from Matt Stout from just a couple of days ago. Massachusetts in November of 2022, voters there approved a 4% tax on incomes over $1 million. Now they have an extra $1.8 billion to spend, I don't know, on public schools and community college and public transportation. And 4% on $1 million is $40,000.
Yeah, and this just in, as a follow-up to this article, those people who had to pay an extra 4% on their taxes, they're still rich.
Yes, they are. And I think the We Got Nothing Else Super PAC is working on a new ad.
Yes.
About America's 1%. That might be ready sometime next week. So
okay.
We'll great. Keep you posted good on enough. That. News is on the way next. And then when we return, Paul Noonan will be here from the Acme's Packing Company to talk about the Brewers. Greg's very upset.
I'm not upset.
Dripping with disdain.
I'm just disappointed.
Oh, I'm so disappointed in you. That was the worst thing my parents ever said to
me. I'm not mad.
I'm just disappointed. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
There's a net or a hoop or a hole in the ground. I hope they get it in. If they want to go to all the bases, I hope they do. If they're supposed to run past the
good line, morning. Whatever, welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. Call or text, same number, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin. He joins us every other Thursday at this time to talk all things sports balls. The Acme Packing Company's Paul Noonan joins us. Good morning, Paul. How you doing?
I'm doing great. That's my favorite intro, too. I love the...
Simon and...
Garfunkel?
Garfunkel and Oates.
Oh, Garfunkel and Oates. Oh, yes.
The song,
you.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
Garfunkel and Oates. Yes.
If you want even better... Watch the video.
It's hilarious.
Oh my gosh.
It is great. Yes.
Oh.
Absolutely hilarious. Paul, Greg's not angry.
Not mad.
But he's very, very, very disappointed.
I'm very disappointed. I was mad when the Yankees crushed us 15 runs two games in a row. But we lost to the Marlins. This would be like if we lost to the Washington Generals. That is the team that
loses to the
Harlem Blue every single time. This is both disappointing and befuddling. Paul?
So, okay, the Marlins are a bad team. They are in last place in the National East. They are 17 games under 500, possibly more than that at the moment.
They were 19 last week.
They are bad. The only thing that I will say in the Brewers' defense is they have been really, really injury bitten lately, and they are in the middle of their longest road trip of the season at the moment. This is it for them in terms of difficult road trips. This is a 9-gamer. It finishes up in Boston this weekend, and Miami's in the middle of it. It's not like they were in a crushing, huge road trip there, but they were a combination of traveling and hurt all at the same time. Joey Ortiz was back yesterday in that terrible 1-0 loss, but he was out for a little bit with it turned out not broken foot, thankfully. That's good. But, you know, they're playing a lot of Andrew Monasterio and Owen Miller right now with Rhys Hoskins out and shuffling people in and out. And it's hurt them. And then they had to send Joe Ross to the disabled list the other day. And they're already horribly thin at pitching. They're down Dale Hall. They're down him. They are, I mean, Wade Miley is a distant memory at this point. It was just, this happens over the course of 162 game season.
It's a long season.
With pitchers. And it just happened to coincide with playing Miami. It's unfortunate that they lost two games. At least they won one. They did manage to scrape out Tuesday's game 7-5, which is good. And, you know, one stat I always like to go back to in baseball is, over in a seven-game series, like in a playoff seven-game series style matchup, the worst team in the league will beat the best team in the league about 15% of the time. That's, you know, baseball is a game of where everybody is pretty close, not separated by that much, and so these things happen. Getting swept would have been disastrous.
Oh yeah,
they didn't do that at least.
I can't remember who said it. I think it was actually in the baseball documentary from Ken Burns.
Ken Burns,
the narrator said, the ones who hit 3 out of 10 are considered to be Hall of Famers and Giants because 300. I mean, that's an amazing batting average. Yep. But I just personally feel like, and Paul, this might be a little crazy for the MLB to adopt, at least in this season, but I feel like if a player steals home, the game should just then be over. Like if we steal home,
new rule.
We've made it. It's like catching the snitch in Quidditch. If my guy has managed to steal home, in today's day and age of technology and speed, the game's done. We're done.
I'm with you on that. Christian Yelich still home the other day. Yeah. If people didn't.
Oh, that too. I forgot about that. Sorry.
It was a brilliant bit of running, and I'm going to steal some work from JR right now, who did the hard work for me and looked this up. It is the first time that a Brewer has had a straight steal of home since 2003 when Scott Podsednik did it. It happens about once a decade.
Wow.
In 1970, we had three of them in one season for the Brewers, Roberto Pena, Dave May, and Gus Gill. But basically since the 70s, it happened once in the 80s. Greg Brock, a not that fast first baseman, did it. Paul Molitor did it in 1992. Scotty Podsednik did it in 2003, and then Yelich in 2024. So it's been 21 years since it happened as a straight steal. And also interesting because Yelich is a pretty fast old guy, but you know, there's like 10 guys on the team faster. Yeah, quote unquote old guy. There's 10 guys on the team faster than him. He is historically one of the best base runners in the league. He's a good strategic base runner. He like does the Dave Winfield thing of cutting out a step, rounding second. He is fun to watch run, but that was just a really, really clever job of watching the pitcher and making it happen. So if people haven't seen it, they should. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
And lefty pitchers, not paying attention to guys on third base. It's tough.
Yeah.
If you're just joining us, Paul Noonan is here from the Acme Packing Company. We're talking right now. We're talking about the Brewers losing to the Marlins and Christian Yelich stealing home the other day. There's always the chance, though, that you can hurt yourself when you do that, isn't there?
Oh, you mean like by getting hit with the ball or the bat?
Ramming into a catcher.
So ramming into a catcher shouldn't happen anymore. Baseball actually essentially banned it. If the catcher's standing in the way, you're just awarded the base at this point. There are pretty restrictive rules about what you have to do when the runner's coming home. And one of those is the batter's not supposed to swing. That is rule one. You can get hit by the ball, and it does hurt to get hit by the ball, but actually if you do, it'll make you safe. So there's that too, but everybody, like, it's kind of a set play. Once you see it happening, pitchers will step off, they'll hit the catcher, and it's safer than it's ever been. It used to be worse. Like there are definitely instances in the past when people in oldie baseball, when guys swung when they shouldn't have or hit the ball down the line at the guy rushing down the line.
Ouch.
But it's actually honestly probably one of the safer plays these days, just because of the way catcher rules are. They're no longer prohibited to block the plate.
I don't get very
no longer allowed to block the plate. Yeah, they're very prohibited from blocking the plate.
Exactly. I don't get very grumpy old man back in my day about this, but I will say there is something fairly fun about watching a catcher just like hunker down, find that center of gravity.
Move me.
And like, yeah, I got this ball and you are not going to get it out of my hand. Come at me. I dare you. The fact that like, we can't do that anymore. I'm like, oh man, baseball used to be tough.
It's how,
and if I'm saying that's weird.
It's how A League of Their Own ends. Like that is the final penultimate play of the movie.
And spoilers.
The movie, not the show. And yeah, it's definitely something is lost. However, I will say a lot of catchers got hurt on that play. Yeah. Like a ton of them, because they're not allowed to really defend themselves. They have no momentum, and it is like being tackled by a football safety going full on with no way really to defend yourself. A lot of concussions, especially, you know, all major sports now are very, very careful around anything that can cause concussions.
And also catchers, if I'm not mistaken, because I've noticed this, they wear a lot less padding than they used to. They used to wear padding that would like the whole chest down towards like, you know, the nether regions, and it like would dip and hit the ground and you were more covered. Now they wear like something covers half your chest. It looks very minimal now in its protection. And I don't understand that, but I imagine that science is going to science and they're like, nope, this is the better way of doing it.
Padding, generally speaking, has gotten lighter and like more targeted. It's I think it's just easier to move with what they wear now. And they did the thing where they did some analysis and what got hit and what didn't.
Yeah.
And, you know, catchers can make up their own minds too. But yeah, old padding, generally speaking, was bigger, bulkier, like medieval padding compared to, you know, later padding.
Well, it always reminds me of a Christmas story when they're putting the little kid into the snowsuit. It's just this, you know, you can barely move.
I can't get up.
Poor Randy with his arms out.
Yeah, I can't put my arms. Put him down when you get to school. I don't want anyone to get hurt, and that's wonderful. There is just something of the old timey thing of like I just also think of Ty Cobb just being a total psychopath and say, oh yeah, I'm gonna put my cleats in your chest.
Yep.
But I guess, you know, all jokes aside and everything, the big problem besides the injuries, you're absolutely right, the injuries are a big problem in this organization. The other problem is the pitching is the bats have, we have to rely on the bats to get 5 to 7 runs a game to make up for the fact that the pitching just can't be counted upon right now. And we're early in the season too.
We are. I'm still shocked they haven't added just an innings eating starter. I would do them just a world of good. Now they did get Robert Gasser called up, and he has, I mean, thank goodness, been absolutely dynamite so far. And you know, Freddie Peralta was struggling a little bit and maybe righted the ship a little bit yesterday. So they at least have the makings of a good rotation there, but they do need somebody just to go out there and throw some innings for them. Otherwise, they're going to keep breaking. Like, they're breaking guys because they're overusing them, especially on the bullpen side, and they need to stop that. On the plus side, since the Yankees series, essentially, they've played one of the hardest schedules in baseball. They've had the Yankees, the Rays, the Cubs, who are, you know, turn out to be very good, and the Astros. After they play the next two series against the Red Sox and the Cubs, they have one of the easiest schedules going forward of any team in baseball. So they've actually kind of weathered a little bit of a storm. And if they can get healthy and maybe start to do a couple of strategic additions and get Rhys Hoskins back, they can kind of turn it on for what is the softest part of the schedule going forward.
Once the Brewers wrap up this trip in Boston, who do they take on when they get home?
They actually have the Cubs after this. And followed by the White Sox, by the way. It's Chicago coming here for a straight week.
Very
just everybody be warned, it's Chicago coming here for a straight week. And one of the interesting things about the unbalanced schedule is, you know, baseball tries to have you play who they think will be your division competitors at the end of the season for excitement, but they're terrible at predicting who those teams are going to be. The Brewers only have 3 series left with the Cubs. They have 2 series at Miller Park, and they have 1 series left in Wrigley. That last series is at the end of July, and then they're done with the Cubs for the season.
That's interesting.
So they're actually almost done with the Cubs now. And after May 30th, they'll basically only have 6 games left against the Cubs. 1 series here, 1 series there. So it's going to be big Chicago heavy against the big rivals, and another shot at Craig. And I'm sure there'll be a lot of booing and fans coming up from the north side of the city of Chicago. But yeah, that's what we got next.
And then there'll be a lot of people from the suburbs coming from the city.
A couple of minutes we have left. Paul Calvin had a question about Caitlin Clark and how she's doing so far in the NBA. Or WNBA.
She's doing quite well. She's having a little bit of, I'm not even going to call them rookie struggles. First of all, the Fever are not good. They picked number 1 overall for a reason. And I believe they picked that number 1 overall 2 years in a row. So they are struggling to win games. But she, in terms of quality of play and bringing what she did at Iowa up to the next level, same thing. She has been absolutely dynamite. Same level of play. She's where she struggled a little bit is with turnovers, and that is often the case with rookies facing slightly quicker defense. But she's still been absolutely fantastic. My big complaint with the WNBA is actually they haven't put like every single game they've played on TV. I was trying to find it last night, and it was actually pretty difficult to do. Got to maximize this, you know, get everybody watching.
Definitely.
But she's doing very, very well. It looks just like at Iowa, bombing from half court, hitting threes consistently, and being an absolutely dynamic presence on offense generally.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Love it.
That answer your question, Kelvin?
Well, I'm admittedly a box score watcher. I don't watch a ton of games, even in the NBA. But yeah, I think she's struggling maybe a little bit because there's this idea like that when you play the champ, the defending champion, you play harder. And I think with her being like anointed as the new like savior of the WNBA, I think the veteran players play harder against her. I don't want to say as a grudge against her, but it almost kind of feels like that.
I think that's true. It brings out the best in you. People save their A game for that, for sure. The other thing that she has struggled with a little bit is one of the benefits she had in college was at a little bit of a smaller program. She was able to do more of what she wanted and take what are like crazier shots. And she's playing in a more structured system. They should change that. That's also one of the problems there.
Yeah. Paul Noonan joins us every other Thursday at this time from the Acme Packing Company to talk about sports. Thank you so very much, sir. Enjoy the long weekend, and we'll see you in a couple weeks.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Weather and Wine with Brittany Merlot is on the way next. Stay here. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you on the Civic Media Radio Network.
May they be victorious in perpetuity. Don't I look cute in this football shirt? Sports go sports. Athletics are number one. Participants are heroes. Go team, yeah. This is the most important thing that's ever occurred. The vicarious fulfillment of your dream that got deferred. You had aspirations as a kid, but you didn't have the skill. So you watched genetically superior people do the things you never will. Sports go sports. May the competitors you prefer best their opposing equivalents, so you can somehow feel connected to the feet of your self-appointed constituents. May the hours you spend watching post-match pontificators amplify the thrill of being a...
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jay Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. If you ever want to email the show directly, you have a guest or a topic or something happening in your community, no matter where you are. You can be in Green Bay or Oshkosh or Hayward or Amory. You can send your emails to janesays@civicmedia.us, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, janesays@civicmedia.us. She joins us every Thursday at this time for Weather and Wine, Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot. You guys had a really busy, busy day on Tuesday.
Oh, we sure did. My goodness. Six now, I believe, confirmed tornadoes
Six?
Across the state.
Oh, I thought first, so this morning I saw four.
Yeah, so there's two up here into Marathon County, one over in Kakana, and then three down in the south as well. So all of them are EF1 rated. I think the max wind speed was 105 miles per hour. But, you know, damage to homes, mobile homes were flipped, trees torn apart. There's a lot of cleanup underway.
Yeah, definitely. I saw that Governor Evers was in Unity yesterday, which is kind of, it's north of Marshfield and then southeast of Eau Claire. And it looks like they got hit pretty hard. And we know that that little town in Iowa just got decimated.
That did. That is a scary image to see those that drone footage from Iowa.
Oh, it's terrifying.
Terrifying. And it happens just so fast, too. I mean, I was the Unity tornado was just west of Wausau. Our sirens were blaring that night. And I haven't taken shelter. I haven't been in the actual path in a long, long time.
Really?
I had to take shelter in my upper apartment. Okay. So I don't have a basement. I don't have that. And I started to freak out a little bit. I'm like, okay.
Can I come hang out with you guys down here?
Right? Knocking on their door.
So as a meteorologist, though, and there are a lot of people who live in apartments and don't have access to a basement, where do you go then to be safe?
So you want to go into the most interior room that you have. So put as many walls between you and the outside as possible. For me, that happened to be a bathroom, which was also nice because it's got the plumbing that goes to the ground. I've got a bathtub to get into to protect me from debris flying around. But a lot of these tornadoes can rip the roof right off. So the first thing I was thinking about is how would I protect myself at that point? And I was thinking maybe a mattress, cushions from the couch,
throw it over you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tony, I'm sorry. Andrew in Maine put on the live stream, he said, quote unquote, only 105 miles an hour. Now that brings up a question because we've been talking about this all week and we've had the luck of talking to you today as well as Corey earlier in the week about, you know, the size of tornadoes. And we were kind of doing like a thing of like, oh, you know, it's really dangerous in an F5 because you can get hurt or killed by a piece of debris. But it sounds like in an F1, you can get seriously injured as well. I mean, can you tell us, like, in an F5 tornado, what are the wind speeds? What is the damage, honestly?
You know, so it's interesting. So the wind speeds, you know, that's yes, in the Fujita scale is what we use to go off of. But when they're out there actually surveying the damage, they're looking at what did damage. Like, did it rip a structure right off the foundation?
Yeah.
That there qualifies you then for an F5. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's all on damage. You can have a tornado with 200 mile per hour winds whip right through a field and they could rate it an EF1 just because it hit maybe nothing. It
didn't hit anything.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, so the farmer whose field it is going to be like, this is more damage than I'd like you to tell. This is a lot of damage. So, I mean, it's more about the structural damage rather than like.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Interesting. That's so interesting.
Going back to Twister, which as a meteorologist, I'm sure you love. But they said in that movie that the Fujita scale is based on how much a tornado eats or destroys, essentially.
Yep. And that's exactly what I was saying there. Yeah. Yep. It's on the damage, it's destruction, what it's eating, what it's doing. But yes, it is based off the winds because you need a certain wind strength to do that sort of damage. Tornadoes are very complex. I mean, there's multiple vortices within a big wedge tornado that we found. I mean, tornadoes can look like a funnel cloud, be doing damage on the ground, but then you don't see anything in the middle. They're very, very complicated. Uh-huh. And the most common ones are what we saw on Tuesday, because for us here in the Midwest, a lot of them are embedded in a line of storms.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we had.
I love the word vortices. All right.
Back. one more Twister movie related question.
Oh my God.
Can a Twister pick up a cow and then return it to the ground? Okay.
I don't think the cow is going to be okay.
Okay.
That's Hollywood. Hollywood.
Again, it's just going back to the cow. We got cows.
They couldn't show a cow getting literally torn to pieces in a PG-13 movie.
I understand that. I was merely trying to clarify. We have an expert here. What do we have coming up for this weekend? Long weekend for most people because it's, of course, the Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, the unofficial start to summer, right? We all want to grill, be outside.
Yes.
The darn weather does it again. Okay, so it's either today or Saturday. It's probably your best bet to do some grilling. We do have more rain pushing in tomorrow. As soon as in the western parts of the state, that could be here as early as 7 a.m. tomorrow. Looks like storm strike by 10 a.m. to the western part, and that rolls right across the entire state. So the eastern areas, expect that by the afternoon and into the evening. We are looking at a slight risk for severe storms, kind of what we saw on Tuesday, but that slight risk stays well to the southeast corners. So that's going to be Milwaukee, Racine, Kenosha, all of that. Janesville, I believe, is included, but not nearly as high of a risk as we saw on Tuesday. But stay weather savvy. Keep an eye on that as that rolls through. So that'll be tomorrow through tomorrow evening. Be dry out Saturday, pretty nice out there, but cooler temperatures all weekend long. I'm talking upper 60s. So
I love that. That makes me so happy.
I'll take it.
I love it.
I want to go to the beach, but that's not happening.
Probably not this weekend.
Nope, not this weekend because we have another system that's striking on Sunday and into Monday. So that's going to make it pretty wet all day, Sunday and Monday morning.
Get your grilling done Saturday. Looks like grill in advance. Grill well in advance. Brittany Merlot joins us every Thursday at this time for Weather and Wine. Thank you so very much, Brittany. Really appreciate it. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
You as well.
I hope everyone has a wonderful Memorial weekend. Let's remember what Monday is for.
Yes.
To remember those who made the ultimate sacrifice for all of us. And so we could stay free here in America. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you guys, nothing works. Thank you so much to you for calling and for texting and above all for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy this weekend. I'm off tomorrow. And you have the chance to share it.
You're stuck with me.
Stay here. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. News is next.